The legalisation of Uber is a sign of things to come. Increasingly, online companies like Uber and the accommodation service Airbnb are becoming mainstream. They're known as disruptive technologies. So, what's next? Ross Dawson describes himself as a strategy advisor and consultant who specialises in technology. I spoke to him earlier and asked him what the legalisation of Uber would mean for consumers.
The long-term impact could be quite dramatic. In the first instance, we are going to see that there's this easier, lower cost availability of transport means that people will start to use these different forms of moving around and will reconsider their choices to be able to own cars themselves. So these are providing many more options for the whole structure of transport and potentially even changing where people live because they have more and more flexible access to transport.
But Uber's been around for a couple of years now. What difference will legalising it make?
I think there are some people who feel a little discomfort with it, but this is the growth path of Uber has been very rapid. So this is just one enabler, which will make these kinds of services are more and more predominant in how we move around.
What are some of the other services that, the so-called disruptive technologies that we'll see more and more of over the next few years?
So Uber and Airbnb are examples of marketplaces where the supply and demand can be met and people that weren't even necessarily in the market before can be matched. One of the ones which is growing very rapidly is what is called peer-to-peer lending, where instead of depositing your money in a bank and then borrowing from banks, this happens directly between consumers. And this has grown very dramatically in the United States, where there's over $8 billion of these kinds of loans. And in the UK, Australia is quite a bit behind, but it's growing very rapidly. Another domain for this is in terms of workspace, where offices, they may have some spare space, there may be people wanting some place to work. And again, this creates the flexibility to be able to match supply and demand in ways that just weren't possible before.
We have an economy that's very much sort of predicated on existing business models. The taxi industry is one, the hotel industry is another, and you've just mentioned one that could threaten banks. What sort of changes do these sort of things mean to our economies?
One of them is they're becoming more efficient. And I think there's a lot of inefficiencies in the system. And I think that's fair to say that's been the case in the taxi industry. I think that there's a lot of money that the banking industry is currently taking that doesn't need to be taken by the banks. And we can create more efficient things. So we're creating more efficiency. We're creating more opportunity. So we have people have access to transport at lower cost before. We have people that can get more money from their existing properties. So this is creating more and more flexibility for people. And this is part of a shift to different work structures where people can work more flexibly and people have more and more flexibility to run their lives how they want.
It would also be very easy to see how it might lead to a large number of job losses, particularly, say, in the hotel industry.
There's been dramatic shift in jobs. More and more jobs are being lost, yet we are still seeing the creation of new jobs. And the disruption of, for example, taxis, and for example, traditional hospitalities are seeing at the same time new jobs and new opportunities for people, often that are more flexible and creating different ways of being able to work. So we are seeing very big changes in the structure of work and in terms of new jobs. This doesn't necessarily mean that there will be net job losses, simply that there will be some of the old jobs will go, but some new jobs and new types of jobs will emerge.
It could be argued that in the case of Uber, that the New South Wales government eventually bowed to public demand. What is the role of government with these new technologies? How does it lead rather than follow?
Governments play a role in regulation to be able to protect people. Yet, in many cases, governments are subject to vested interests of people wanting to stay things as they have been in the past. Clearly, I think with Uber and the change of transport, there's been a case of public safety, which hasn't probably been very well founded. There's been a case for existing industry players, which has been addressed in some of the legislation. So I think the role of government is to be able to be cognizant of potential risks to the economy, to people's safety, but should not be blocking the transition to what is creating more flexible economy, more opportunities for people, more efficient work and environment and society.
this regulation issue is very important. If I get in somebody's car, I want to know that I'm covered if we have an accident. If I stay in somebody's house, I want to know that I'm going to be insured if I have an accident in that house, or, you know, if I borrow money from somebody, that I've got some redress in case something goes wrong. How do consumers of these services know that they're safe?
Insurance is an absolutely fundamental platform, and we're seeing that the major platforms are addressing these issues. I think to a certain point, people need to do their own due diligence, but any company that is well established will understand that these are things that consumers will expect and are putting these things in place. More and more, we're going to see the rise of reputation systems where we can understand that these are the platforms or these are the people we should or shouldn't do business with. But I think that government plays a role in being able to ensure these things in place. But any leading platform, any leading company which is looking to disrupt, understand that that people expect safety, expect insurance, expect governance, and are putting these systems in place.
That's the strategy advisor and futurist, Ross Dawson.